The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, Franklin Communications, or parent company. To hear a replay of this show or one of the other great shows that previously aired, log on to columbustoday.com, keyword Dentally Speaking, or find them at dentallyspeaking.com. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Brian Kvitko. Call 459-9769. That's 459-WSNY to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kvitko.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, brought to you by Luby Hearing Services. Our show is also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but We're Too Numb to Ask. Hello, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, and thank you for joining me here today. Today, I'm very excited because we are going to have Dr. Paul Gozar. He is a member of the freshman class of the 112th Congress, the largest freshman class in six decades. He represents Arizona's 1st Congressional District. In the November 2nd, 2010 general election, Dr. Gozar defeated Democratic incumbent Ann Kirkpatrick and Libertarian nominee Nicole Patty. Dr. Gozar assumed his office in January. Dr. Gozar was born in 1958 in Rock Springs, Wyoming. He graduated from Creighton Boyne School of Dentistry, and he has owned his own dentistry practice for 25 years. He's the former president of the Northern Arizona Dental Society and was vice chair of the American Dental Association Council on Governmental Affairs. He's married to Maud Gozar and has three children. He is Roman Catholic and is a Republican. So, Dr. Gozar, thank you for getting up and being on my show today.
Not a problem, Dr. Kvitko.
This is really great. I don't know if you realize just how excited I am to have a real live congressman on the show.
Well, I appreciate your feelings there, and this should be fun.
What does it feel like to be a real live congressman?
It's been a strange 2 weeks, Dr. Kvitko.
Because you had the orientation,
mm-hmm.
Right? Is that like a little 2 week school?
Well, we had orientation in November, where we had a chance to meet each other, get a chance, and by no way do we know everybody's name. Trying to look around, kind of get a feel for what transpires, the settings, and then we came back about 2 weeks later to do looking at policy to get some kind of background about what policy has happened in the past and where there's going to be interest and need for help in the next Congress.
The things that they want to get accomplished.
Well, it's not so much that. It's just giving you a peripheral vision of what's going around the world within the state and all those things.
I see. Okay, I get it. Because you guys have to understand all of the different hot spots around the world, how it's mm-hmm. going to affect us.
Yep.
Okay.
And there's a number of us from our class that do not have any legislative experience, and I think that's what the American people wanted, was some new eyes and some new vision.
Right, because I think many of us think, boy, I could do a better job than that. and you're one of them, and so I think that you probably will. Now, later on in this show, I always have a Dr. Kvitko's question of the day. I'm not going to give it out yet, but I want people to listen because we're going to cover the answer here very soon, and so that way when I give the signal for people to call or give the question, they will know the answer. So I want to start off with this. I sent you a spreadsheet, mm-hmm. and it talked about dental insurance and the reimbursement level and how long it stayed pretty much the same. And you might remember that it started back in 1960, and it kind of tracked from decade to decade to decade, 60s, 70, 80, 90, 2000. It ended at 2008. Basically, what it showed is it's been 50 years since insurance companies have raised the yearly dental maximum. And how is it, and is there anything the government can do about it, how is it that they've been allowed to get away with that for half a century?
Well, insurance is a company that builds its business on risk, spreading risk out. And what has happened is that there have been a number of things that have happened here. One of them is something that dentistry has been very, very trying to repeal, and that is the McCarran-Ferguson Act. And
I'm
that
not familiar
is an act
with that.
That is that allows insurance companies not to be under the jurisdiction of the federal government for collusion or monopolies.
Okay.
And so what has happened is that has been relegated in most part to states. And in most cases, and most recently, the last three cases of the state of New York, California, and South Carolina, they have not been able to take on the insurance companies in that aspect. And in the federal-state interaction, where you need the federal government is to level the playing field, not dictate, but to have true competition. And I think when we have that, we have a system that works, true competition. And if you and I are competing like we do in a free marketplace, so should insurance companies. They shouldn't be able to share their information about you and me, what they pay a provider, how they provide for care, whether it be a preventative-based or treatment-based. They should compete fairly, just like the rest of us.
Right, because when more than one dentist gets together and tries to make a change, then the insurance companies cry foul. They say that's not conflict of interest. What's the word I'm looking for?
A collusion.
A collusion, okay.
But you're exactly right, and that's exactly why I'm proud. The dentistry, when I sat on the Council on Government Affairs, I was one of those people pushing this issue, the 14th District, this was their issue. It's come forward. Last year, it made it through the House, 406-19, so people understand that we have to, when we have health care reform or in dental reform, insurance reform, you have to start with simple provisions that expand competition. And that is exactly what this provision or this law, revoking this law, actually does.
And it's called the Ferguson-McGarren Act?
No, it's called the McCarran-Ferguson.
Oh, I have it backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it was Mr. McCarran's idea and Ferguson came along later.
Well, I don't know how that all worked out, but it was in the 1940s.
Okay.
And so it most people believed it was a knee-jerk reaction to keep the federal government out of that jurisdiction.
And how close are we to repealing that?
Well, once again, we've got I think we showed signs last year of getting it through the House. I think we'll try to do that again and see where the Senate does. The problem has been in the Senate, and I think that's where the eyes of our country need to be focused in, is that if we want some reform, a true reform in a proper manner that's patient-centered, we need to focus on that the Senate needs to start playing in the game with the House.
Okay. No, I agree. Boy, I would love to see that happen. You've been practicing dentistry for 25 years. I've been practicing for just under 31. And sounds like it might even happen in my lifetime.
Well, you never know unless you try, Dr. Kavitko. And I think that when unified voices come about, where we're basically centering a program in healthcare on a patient's wellness and patient-centered, I think you can accomplish a lot.
Yes, definitely. Now, this health care bill that is sometimes referred to as Obamacare, whether a person thinks it should have been passed or not, it seems like dentistry was effectively left out of that bill. Why is that? I just don't get it, because I know that there was a little bit of money for a little bit of training for some folks, and maybe a little bit of money to help more children that are covered by public assistance to obtain more dental care. But otherwise, I didn't even hear the word teeth or dentistry uttered.
Well, I don't know why it was left out or parts put in, but I will tell you is I don't know of a program that the federal government is involved in that actually works. it's a mixed bowl of blessings that are there with this. So from that standpoint, I want to see us more focused on patient care, and I think that what people want is, and I think you and I will agree, we need health care reform. But what we do need to do is change it incrementally. This didn't happen overnight, just like you were talking about health insurance taking over this 50 years, staying pretty much the same. Well, what we need to do is incrementally start to change it and focus more on patient-centered care and making sure that the patient is at the core of this, making the changes that they want, because everybody's different, and not having the federal government or governments dictate what they can and what they cannot have.
Yes. Oh, definitely. I agree. Because you have, for example, well, here's the thing. And when you said patient-centered, what it reminded me of is recently there was a large dental practice. We were going to talk about it this week, and we put it off till next week because I was lucky enough to get you on the show. But there was a company called All Care Dental and Dentures that went out of business, and everybody's up in arms because they have dentures they can't get at and less than stellar care. I've seen a couple of these people. And that program or that company was apparently putting profit in front of patient care. And we want patient care first and then profit second.
Well, I mean, I've always been taught that there's a happy medium, and that is that if you're not being paid for the services that you're doing appropriately, you cannot provide services appropriately.
That's
we've
true.
seen this magically in government-run healthcare, where what we've done is underpaid providers, and basically they've paid for patients to sit in a chair. And what has to happen is that we have to have equitable reimbursement. And I'm not saying it has to be tons, but what it has to do is there has to be some compensation to be able to be reimbursed to carry out a process.
Right.
But I can't. I have no dictation over that.
Right. Exactly.
And I don't know what each individual company is. It does and has done. And I think those are things that we have to be careful about.
Right. Okay. I'd like to let everyone know that you can access podcasts of this show and all of the other great shows that we've had by going to www.dentallyspeaking.com. You can also find them at iTunes by searching either Dentally Speaking or Dr. Kvitko in the health category. When you do that, you'll find that it says no match found, but don't worry, because in the lower right-hand corner, you'll see my picture. Just click on it, and it brings them up. So who knows why that is, but it is. Now, I think it's time to give out Dr. Kvitko's question of the day. And before I do, though, I just want to... We're trying to keep our commercial breaks to a bare minimum this show, because I felt like the topic was so important. And so I just want to, first of all, say thank you to Seagull Bags, Studio B Hair Design, and Canton City Chinese Restaurant for allowing me to do that. Dr. Kvitko's question of the day today is, how many years has it been since dental insurance companies have raised the yearly maximum benefit of notice? Is it A, 3 years, B, 20 years, C, 40 years, or D, 51 years? You can give us a call at 459-9769, 459-9769, and the person with the correct answer wins free flowers from Weistember Florist, a free mixed seasonal floral arrangement delivered to your place of business this Tuesday afternoon, okay? So, stay with us. We'll be right back after the break.
Sunny 95 will not be held liable for any contesting during Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Participation in the contest allows Dr. Kvitko to record and broadcast your name and call. One winner per household. Prizes are non-transferable, cannot be substituted, and are subject to taxes and fees. Sunny 95 cannot be responsible for the inability to enter the contest, whether due to equipment malfunction or telephone difficulties. All decisions of Dr. Kvitko concerning this contest or eligibility are final.
Dentally Speaking is his talk show. Dr. Kvitko, let's go!
Yeah! Hi, this is Richard Simmons. Do you listen to Dentally Speaking? Well, you should. Dr. Kvitko's here, and he's going to help you with all of your problems. Are your teeth yellow? He can fix that. Are you missing a tooth? He could put a new one in. How is that?
That's very good. Thank you, Richard.
Luby Hearing Services. You'll hear what you've been missing.
Wow. Thanks, Central Ohio, for the 2010 Consumer's Choice Award for hearing aids and audiology. That makes 2 years in a row. Pretty good for a family business that's been around for 64 years. Hi, this is Dr. Mary Lou Luby. We're celebrating with special year-end savings just in time for holiday gatherings. Call 431-1010. That's 431-1010.
You know.
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. We're talking to Congressman Dr. Paul Gozar, representative from Arizona's 1st Congressional District, about dental insurance, access to care. We're going to talk about tort reform and the health care bill. But first, we have a caller with a guest to our question of the day. Caller, you're on the phone with Dr. Kvitko. What's your name?
I'm Jean.
Jean. Hi, Jean. How are you? And by the way, that sounds like a dental hygienist. Hi, Jean. But anyway, Jean, what's your guess?
I'm thinking it's D, 51 years.
51 years is right. Very good, Jean. Thank you for listening, first of all, and thanks for calling in with that guess. If you can please hold on, my producer will get your information so we can get you the flowers.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. All right, Dr. Gozar, now, and again, thanks for holding. It seems to me that the insurance industry treats people like headless horsemen, meaning they cover from the neck down. There doesn't seem to be a lot of care for mental health, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of coverage, if you will, for dental. Have you noticed that?
Well, I have, and I think that part of where I've been is that incrementally getting it to change is trying to make sure that we have competition in the marketplace, and that's why it's so important that we work on patient-based, that patients are in the equation. And that we have insurance companies competing against each other for our business. And I think that's what occurs in a free marketplace. And that's when we don't have exemptions for certain individuals. And I think that's what's so important about the revocation of the previous amendment, like I said, the McCarran-Ferguson. It works in all insurance.
It does, so not just dental.
It's exactly right.
Okay. Now, I've noticed that people lose their dental insurance when they retire, and it seems to me that's when they need it the most. And this seems to be universal. It doesn't seem to matter who you've worked for during your lifetime. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it just seems like they take away your dental insurance when you retire. Am I right, first of all? And secondly, why?
Well, I mean, it just depends. I think all benefits, are somewhat what we've seen, particularly in this recession, we have seen benefits being tapered back. But I think what we have to do is we have to start looking at how that occurs. And, from the standpoint of, do we have a limited benefit or do we have a defined contribution, unlimited benefit versus a defined contribution? And I think what we have to look at is having the patient more in control of their own health care as well as the benefit that they're given for that.
Would that be like a medical savings or health savings account?
Love them. I mean, my patients have had health savings accounts, and when you own, that's your money that you've put aside, you spend it wiser.
Right.
If it's free, and I'm one of those people that always says there's nothing for free, that you are putting part of yourself behind. You're making an educated decision on what you want and how you want to get it done.
I have one person in my office that has that. She absolutely loves it. Some of the others have gone with the traditional plan. And every time the topic comes up, the person with the medical savings account just says, oh, I love my medical savings account. And it does. It makes them, they have ownership of it. They spend the dollars just like they would spend the dollars in their pocket.
That's exactly right. And they're empowered to be part of their decision. And and whether it being healthcare, medical or dental, they're involved. And give me an involved patient. I love that every day.
Well, and by the way, it means if they want to spend it on tooth whitening, they can.
That's right.
They don't have to wait till they have a toothache.
Well, and that's how I feel. Government shouldn't be in the job to make winners and losers. That's for the markets to decide.
Yeah, I agree. Now, we were talking off the air earlier. There are only two dentists in all of Congress, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're from Flagstaff. Where's the other one from?
The other one's from Idaho. His name is Dr. Mike Simpson.
Oh, okay. I actually was in Idaho about 2-3 months ago.
Beautiful state.
It really is. It really is. Of course, I was in Arizona last year, too. So
there's another beautiful state.
Equal opportunity, exactly. And, okay, now, I don't want to miss out on this chance to talk about tort reform. And honestly, a lot of people, we hear that word. And it stands for tortuous interference, right? It stands for, essentially, it's lawsuits cause the cost of dental care. It causes the cost of medical care to escalate because everybody's afraid of being sued the way the current laws stand. And if we can reform that a little bit, that would be called tort reform. If we can reform it a little bit, it might ease the burden and maybe bring prices down. Is that pretty much the argument? And do you agree with that?
There is. It is a chief number or part that causes medical and dental healthcare to escalate because you're practicing defensive medicine. What you're doing is that, for example, let's say one set of tests are done and you can't take that because you didn't actually order that test, and so you're required to take another set of tests that are exactly the same as the other ones. This goes on and on and on, and I think that, once again, we can do this incrementally. We can use mediation like they do in Oregon, where all malpractice cases have to sit for mediation between the parties. You can have your attorneys. That's fine. But the rest of us aren't held up in courts and some of the cost. And that helps alleviate a substantial amount. Second of all, we can look to states like California and Texas that have put caps on pain and suffering. That's another step. A winner or loser pays is another aspect that they use in Alaska.
They use that in Alaska?
Yep.
Okay.
The other one is, last but not least, is that how about we tie into the Federal Torts Act that requires or that would require that if any money was taken in a federal, any federal dollars were taken in the treatment of this case, that it's limited to 20% to the plaintiff's attorney as is now. So there's a lot of opportunities to do this and do it in a compassionate way.
Right.
And do it incrementally.
Mm-hmm.
Try something and see what it looks like. Allow a commission to study the results over 5 years. This isn't rocket science. This is something that can be done very compassionately, that puts the wishes of a patient as well as wishes of a doctor together. And that, I think, can come to a happy medium.
Right, and I like that. And I didn't know that there was any loser pays in the States. I know they have it in England, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard arguments on both sides that if you make loser pays, people will be less likely to sue or less able to sue because they can't afford to pay the opposing side's attorney's fees, and that it might be unfair to poor folks. Not so sure I agree with that, because you have all kinds of attorneys willing to work essentially for free because they think they're going to win, and then they'll take their money. But
well, and I think that also is that we have a beautiful Constitution that gave us the 10th Amendment, and I think that one of the things that one size fits all is not a model that works.
Yeah.
I think that what we ought to do is from education to tort reform to health. To Medicaid as a safety net, we ought to allow the states the ability to have some flexibility to create. That has been the magic of America. It's
right.
Been the ability to create. And the more people and the more eyes we involve into a plan, because obviously what happens in D.C. is a little bit different circumstances than what's in Arizona.
Yes.
And we ought to allow the states to have the flexibility to decide that.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. Now, why is it that every time the government decides that they want to try and increase access to care, we keep hearing access to care, access to care? There seems to be, rather than just giving the dentists that are already out there treating people enough money to be able to pay their bills while they're treating people on government assistance, they always want to, like, deputize dental assistants to do something that they're not normally allowed to do, or deputize a hygienist to do something they're not normally allowed to do. Why is that?
Well, I don't know the rationale, but I think it comes from the standpoint that your supply government manipulates information, and so what their aspect is that we're undersupplied and we'll supply this. The second part is we want to look at if that is truly an access to care, and if we are putting some of these folks into these services. In different ranges of authority, and they're doing treatment, they have to be held to the same accountability as doctors that have been trained appropriately.
Right.
We have put a premium, and we have asked it in tort reform, by saying you have to be trained, the continuing education, the schooling that you go through. That is all part of how you handle a patient.
It is.
And if you're going to cut it back, there should be no differentiation between the care from that individual and that of a doctor.
You know, I did years ago, I did a welfare patient, took care of them. Bill was about $168. And for those who don't know, when you treat a welfare patient, you have to accept whatever the government sends you. You can't bill the patient any of the balance. And so it took me 6 months to get a check. And what I got was a check for $6.
Mm-hmm.
And how am I supposed to do that?
Well, that goes back to our first question is that I don't know a program that the federal government's involved in that actually works.
Well, I agree with you.
And I think that what we have to do is my health is my health. And I happen to be allergic to wheat and gluten, so I'm a celiac sprue patient.
Huh.
I have to take onus and my responsibility of how I handle my health. I may choose to be very poor at handling that. I may be very prudent about that. That's up to me, and you shouldn't have to pay for how I take care of my health care.
Right.
And that's where we have to get back to, is personal accountability and personal responsibility.
Excellent, excellent. Hey, we do have to go to a break. Stick with us. Can you hang with us a little bit longer?
We'd love to.
Okay, okay. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, and we'll be right back after the break.
Wow, thanks Central Ohio for the 2010 Consumers' Choice Award for hearing aids and audiology. That makes 2 years in a row. Pretty good for a family business that's been around for 64 years. Hi, this is Dr. Mary Lou Luby. We're celebrating with special year-end savings just in time for holiday gatherings. Call 431-1010. That's 431-1010.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
I'm general dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. I live my life and practice dentistry by four very important principles: comfort, compassion, respect, and care. They are my guide to providing the very best and most comfortable dental care for you and your family. We want you to feel safe, relaxed, and confident that you are getting the very best care. If you need to correct one tooth or have a total smile makeover, we can help. We provide cosmetic and restorative services including tooth whitening, crowns and bridges, complete and partial dentures, root canals, extractions, and implants. At Dr. Kvitko & Associates, we work hard to earn your trust.
Call to schedule an appointment, 262-9588, or online at drkvitko.com.
Dr. Kvitko & Associates.
Estás escuchando Dentally Speaking con Dr. Kvitko aquí en su estación favorita, Sunday 95.
I'm gonna miss that smile. I'm gonna miss you, my friend. Even though it hurts the way it ended up, I do it all.
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, and on the phone with us today, great guest, Dr. Paul Gozar. He is a congressman from Arizona's 1st Congressional District, and we've had a great show, and I want to thank Dr. Gozar for coming on the show with me. And Dr. Gozar, we only have about 3.5 minutes, and there are a couple things I still want to get in. So the first question is, statistics show that about 40% of the U.S. population does not seek dental care on a regular basis. Any idea why that is, and is there anything that the government can do to change it?
Well, I think what we've done is we've lost and don't understand the value of having a healthy mouth and a healthy smile. We're beginning that, and I think that's part of our mantra, is that's what dentistry can do, is show people why it is such a good thing to have health starting with the mouth.
You're right, and we do now know all of the links that if you have gum disease, you will get heart disease, you will get dementia, you will get all these other afflictions.
Well, I think there's... You know, we now understand that there's an importance here on how you chew the food, how you break it down, and the building blocks for the body. And you know what? There's just not enough smiles going around in the world today. You can do so many things with a smile, and it takes less energy to smile than it does take a frown.
You're right. It uses less muscles, right?
Yep.
Okay, and that kind of leads us into the very last topic, and the song that we just listened to, I'm Gonna Miss Your Smile, Crying for You by Toby Keith. And it reminds me of, January 8th, the terrible tragedy in Tucson. And I don't want to dwell on the tragedy part. I want to dwell on Congressman Gabrielle Giffords and how she is doing. So can you kind of give us an update and, talk a little bit about that?
From what I've heard, and I don't get as many updates as some of the other individuals, but I did have a chance to talk to her surgeons, and his comment was, she shouldn't look this good. And he just smiles. And he said, this is an amazing story in light of a huge tragedy. So from that standpoint, you think of all the positives that come out of something like this. It's just sad that it takes a tragedy like this to make us aware of what's happening. And it just puts an emphasis on how we ought to treat people and how you speak to people.
Yeah. I mean, we just all have to. I always start my day with a positive attitude, and it's amazing what a smile will do, and how you can just lighten somebody else's day with a smile. And we're all people, and we're all here. We all want the same thing. We all want to be able to have a happy, healthy life. People around us that love us. Keep the burden to a minimum if possible. But you know what? The sun's always going to come up the next day, And I think it's great that it looks like she's going to recover. Every time I listen, she's moving her legs, they have her sitting up. It's just really wonderful. I'm sorry it had to happen to one of your fellow Congress people, but thanks for that update.
Well, and she's a special lady. To give you an example, when you talked about earlier when we came back for freshman orientation, my father-in-law was up watching our kids, and she called the house to check on how they were doing.
Wow.
And that's some kind of special. And it wasn't just a minute. It was like 15 minutes that she spoke with him asking how they're doing. Is there anything we can do? That's what you call a special individual.
Yeah, that is so wonderful to hear.
And then the other thing I would like to say, though, is taking some time to remember the other victims.
I know.
Sometimes we bring in, the people that, like Gabrielle, and I know she would like to spread that around, is the care and the solace and the thoughtfulness that we will extend to those other victims.
And that's why
they're special people.
They are, and that's why I chose the song Crying for You, because I think we're all crying for them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, thank you for being my guest. Thank you for tuning in. Please tune in next week when we will be talking about All Care Dental and Dentures. Anyone who has a story to tell and would like to call in, you feel free to do that. Dr. Gozar, thank you so much. And everyone, go out and have a great day. You've been listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. See you next week.
If you're interested in learning more about this and other dental health topics, go to columbustoday.com, keyword Dentally Speaking, to access full half-hour episodes of Dr. Kvitko's shows.
If you would like to book Dr. Kvitko to speak at your next event, please call 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. Or send an email to drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com. That's drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com.